This podcasting thing, it'll never catch on.
In Ballymun and Beijing.
Radio WXGC.net.
In Coolock and Cairo.
Radio WXGC.net.
In Artane and Amsterdam.
Radio WXGC.net.
Just before we start today's program, we'd like to say thanks for listening to us for the last 2 years in podcasting. We've been podcasting 2 years. Correction, we've been podcasting 2 years in the MP3 format and since 1999 in real media. Thanks for listening throughout the years. Here's a little dedication to the last few MP3 years.
Just look in there and say hello to everybody in the internet. In there, say hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Tom Raftery of podleaders.com. I'd like to say a big shout out to all Brian's listeners and happy 2006 to everyone.
I will. My web address is rebeccahart.net and my MySpace is very easy because it's just myspace.com/rebeccahart.
Okay, the book's called Killer Web Content and you get all the details you need on it on www.jerrymcgovern.com.
Recorded Friday, 29th of September 2006 at O'Callaghan Alexander Hotel, Dublin, Merrion Square.
Recorded Friday, the 26th of January at the Four Seasons Hotel, Simmons Court Road, Dublin 4.
Recorded 10th of November 2006 at Jury's Hotel, Ballsbridge, Dublin 4.
In the end, in my view, it's the listeners who will dictate what form local radio takes, not the legislators, but the listeners.
I believe that nobody has the right to say we are the only people who can decide who can broadcast.
Competition will do RTE good, and it will also do the provincial press good.
Sure, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Shout to the top. For community radio.
Radio WXGC.net. Radio WXGC.net.
Hello. Oh, start a show and the phone rings. Hang on a sec. 3 months and I haven't done a show and the phone rings just like I'm to start it. Hello. Yeah, hold the line, please. Right, where was I? I don't think I'd even started. So what I could do is, I could just go back to the start, start all over again, and pretend absolutely nothing happened. But that would be cheating, I suppose. You're listening to Brian Green. We call this radio WXTC.net. And it's been a long time since my last confession, I mean podcast. It's been about 3 months, which generally is a sign that I'm busy and that my own personal podcast is less important than all my clients, which is true, because that's just the way it is. But sometimes it's just not fair, because what I get is an emotional build-up of thoughts, ideas, comments, propaganda and information that I just need to get out there, and doesn't happen. It just stays in, locked up in my head and starts to come back out through my dreams and things. So this is almost therapeutic to come here and talk the talk and walk the walk and play some tunes as we go. A couple of things to tell you about. Things have been happening. Things have been busy. At any stage, if you want to know what I'm up to, I would tell you to go read me blog, briangreen.com, or Twitter, which we'll go on to later. You could read what I'm posting on them, and you'd be pretty much up to date with what I'm thinking and what I'm dealing with and what I'm up to. What you may not heard much of through the blog, or even through the business blog or the company website that's Dupe Design, for anybody unaware, is that we have in Dupe teamed up with Talking Voices, a international podcasting agency, and we will be working through them for podcasting in the Irish space, in the whole of Ireland. So what was Dupe Podcasting is now Talking Voices, and not Talking Voices Ireland per se, although we might internally call it that from time to time. It's just Talking Voices and things that we're doing in podcasting, which are busy and getting busier all the time.
So I'm absolutely delighted in that. And while I say it's busy, we're going to make it even busier by our efforts and endeavours in the sales and promotions arena. Things will get pretty busy there. What was that rattling noise? Hang on a second, bye. Okay. About 20 kilograms of equipment is balancing. It's balancing on what? Yes. Not very much. It's a cantilevered shelf and it's looking pretty dodgy there. Okay. Talk Voices, check that out at talkingvoices.com. And if you have any queries about podcasting in this arena, well, you know where to get in touch with. Second thing I'm going to talk about is the takedowns, the YouTube takedowns of late. And there has been two of major proportion. And the first one came with the Viacom issue and what happened to an Irish blogger. Around the first to second week of February was that Balcony TV had their entire feed and their entire repertoire of video removed from YouTube, Google's own YouTube, Google's owned YouTube. And that's pretty stark. That's when something like that happens to you, you kind of really feel like the rug has been pulled from under you. And you also get to feel that, hey, if somebody owns the network, it's not the safest place to be for your content. So either have a bloody good backup or own your own network. Now, this freedom that podcasting and blogging and video blogging gives people with RSS and mobile devices and a user-generated environment where the audience expect it to be raw, edgy and, you know, unique and niche, has a lot of positives going for it. But if the hands that hold the network are too few, be that British Sky Broadcasting, be that be the national broadcaster here in Ireland, RTE, be that YouTube with your online videos, be that with Podshow and your podcasting, if there are too few owners of the network or networks, and I'm not making this argument from the point of let there be more competition, because there can be as much competition as there wants to be in a free market, it's just that the larger ones will dominate. So the small independent producer who chooses a network should consider having duplicate sources of network. Therefore, if an argument arises that the rug ain't pulled, and if you have the resources, and it doesn't take a lot to build your own network, go for it, do it, strongly recommend it. Because the Balcony takedown was resolved, and it was clear from the offset that they hadn't done anything wrong, really. And they're back, and they're back bigger, better, faster and more, and they're, I think they've a director's account proper now. So they look just as pro as the BBC on YouTube, which is great because I really support their brand. What has happened now, a second takedown situation has happened, and Conam Winnicon of Edgecast and the Amal podcast has had some content of himself taken off YouTube. It was himself videoed on TG Cahir, the Irish language TV service here in Ireland. He was on the news there and they were filming him doing the An Líonra podcast last year, and he asked them for the source video. They posted it to him and he YouTubed it, and some agent of theirs has removed all content associated with the TG Cahir logo or with the TG Cahir logo on it to protect the copyrights of the original copyright holders. Now, in the case of Con's appearance on TG Cahir News, the copyright holder is TG Cahir, and why that they can't, you know, allow that podcast or, you know, instance on YouTube to exist and remain is beyond me. You know, I heard an interview with Dave Fanning on RTE and a guy from T.G. Carr, and he explained that, you know, some people will, you know, get hurt in the crossfire. That's me paraphrasing, by the way. That's not a direct quote. It's a little bit shallow and a bit unfair in this age of high technology and everything, that it should be possible to identify content abusers, copyright infringers, and legitimate use and reuse of content that was granted to the user in the first place. So if you want to read more about that, visit edgecast.ie. We'll move on to an issue that has been taking up a bit of our time recently, and that's Twitter. How many weeks? About 10 days, 20 days on Twitter now. What we could do is we could actually check and see how long we've been at it and how much time we've been wasting over on Twitter. There's the Twitter account, and if I go down to the bottom, it says I have posted 200 and something. Sorry for the delay here, this should have all been researched earlier. 259 updates, and I've been doing it since 259, 22, about 20 pages, doing some quick maths here. And waiting for the information to come back. Twitter can be slow. It can be quite slow at times. So you have to give it a bit of time to load. It's been overused and under-resourced. So I suppose they're playing catch-up with the resources to the service. Twitter. What is Twitter? Twitter is microblogging. Microblogging. Another buzzword to get your head around. It's blogging with 140 characters that's ubiquitous to your phone, instant messaging, and web pages. So you can find it just about, you can't really leave it. Unless you really want to leave it, you can leave it. But if you don't want to leave it, it'll always be around you because it's hitting the phone and the web and the instant messenger. Which gives me a small problem. There's that rocking again. If you need to go sleep, and, you know, we generally do every once every 24 hours, you can end up wanting to stay in the mix, stay getting the messages to your phone, but you want to sleep, so you'll put your phone on silent. But if you've got your phone on an alarm, so you'll wake up at the right time to an important business meeting or something, you can't do it. You can't have it both ways. So I think someone is going to have to devise a kind of a sleep button for Twitter so that you can, you know, hit the old sleep and it'll come back in 8 hours' time automatically. Now, there's a feature request that I should send into them proper. Just thought of it now as a solution. Had the problem for a long time. So there's a thought to what we could do with that. There's two camps within Twitter or outside of Twitter, and that is people who love it and people who hate it. And the people who hate it are very vocal about how much they hate it, and the people who love it are kind of shy and retiring about how much they love it. It's, you know, a bit like ABBA and their music, is that you might be a little bit ashamed for it to be known that you like their music or that you like Twitter. It's been suggested that it's, you know, the over 40s. Now, that's not fair because I'm not 40 yet. But it is. There is an older cohort of people who are adopting Twitter at a faster rate. It's not for your teenager, texter, instant message Bebo generation. This is something that is being adopted by the technologists and the early adopters. And there's another awful overused statement, the early adopters. The podcasting fraternity, I would certainly say, have more representation than other industries that I can find. Now, maybe that's just self-orientation, but outside of my own list of friends on Twitter, I see quite a lot of information going back and forth from podcasters. So if you want to check out that, visit twitter.com or twittervision.com or twittermap.com, where you can search Twitter also. And also there's twitterbuzz.com, which is good for checking out what people are generally linking to. So you can find my Twitter page at twitter.com/mmbhg, and you can find my weather service from Ireland at twitter.com/WXman, WXman, M-A-N. That's Twitter covered, and what we'll do is we'll take a song, will we? Now, we promised long ago to play a song by this next artist. So with a bit of luck, we shall find this next artist and live through the wonders that is MySpace, it shall play for us. Speaking of MySpace, we have not been using it as much as we should of late. We've been neglecting our MySpace presence because there are so many identities that you can keep up to date on, I suppose. It's been some of my blogs, like, are being neglected children, I suppose. So, all going well, we should hear a track from Linda Coogan. And I'm just waiting on MySpace to load the song. And here we go. Linda Coogan on WXTC.net. Coogan, where I belong. Linda's on tour at the moment across Ireland. You can catch her in Burr, County Offaly, coldest place in Ireland, tonight at 8 p.m. in Tipperary on the 12th, in Drogheda on the 13th, in the Spirit Store Dundalk on the 15th, in Belfast on the 19th, Dublin Whelans on the 24th, and Waterford Local Radio FM on the 27th, and the Cellar Bar Subterranea in Galway on the 29th, and a couple of Dublin gigs, 30th of May and the 1st of June, in the Village and in Ansley House, respectively. Ansley House, so that's only up the road for me on the North Strand, I think. Because I played there myself before. Oh, no, I'm not a musician, I'm just a DJ. I'm not that good. WXTC.net with Brian Green, and it's podcast number 21, I'm almost sure. Check out some of my other podcasts at, where are they now? Let me think. Eleanor McAvoy's MySpace page. You'll have to search that one up somewhere. And you can check out Anglo-Irish podcast at angloirish.info, and all details should be around my small little personal blogosphere and podosphere as they merge and intertwine and come together over the next couple of months. We have more news and things to tell you about. We actually made a list, so it's not exactly a script or show notes, but it will become show notes in the future. The sun is shining, the kids are out in the garden digging holes, so it's quiet in here. That's why I'm doing it right this minute. The elections are coming up in Ireland, and the current government has been serving us for about 10 years now, as they successfully returned to themselves near on 5 years ago. And we've had two-party government with the Progressive Democrats and Fianna Fáil here in Ireland. Now, that aside, it's an opportunity for everybody to put their money where their mouth is, and there's a lot of money in politics these days, but also stamp out their ground and their ideology and say, you know, we're different and this is why, and give us your vote. And what I will be doing is working in Dublin North, not far from home here, with Claire Daly and her campaign for, you know, we've been working on it for years and we'll continue, but it'll escalate in the coming weeks. So sometime in the next 7 weeks, there's due to be an election, and by the end of May, it should all be over. But that's where a lot of effort and concentration will be going over the next number of weeks. So you'll probably be hearing a bit about that. We're going to be taking the tape recorder on the campaign trail, and myself and Cathal Brennan will be recording some outtakes and setups and some deliberate parts of the hustings. What it sounds like to be on the campaign trail with a candidate will be captured. None of it will be broadcast before election day, and we will be waiting until about a week after the elections before that particular episode is unveiled, and that will be sometime near the end of May, the start of June. So that's what's keeping me busy in the coming months. Next, we move on to a story that broke last week, April 2nd, EMI and the DRM issue. I won't spend long on this because what I have had to say about it has been said in blogs, which you can see on my own blog, or I commented on the Irish Times blog, Conor Pope's extra special new blog that started last Friday. Actually, if you just bear with me a second, I'm going to just work out the source of this rattle. Hang on a second. Okay, I know where we need a beer mat. Now I know where we need a beer mat. Can we try this? Will this work? 1, 2, 3. No. Okay, that's not going to fit. It's actually needs a Budweiser beer mat. Anybody? No. Okay. EMI and DRM. They have announced that they are removing DRM, Digital Rights Management, from the files that they sell in online stores. Because this is to aid interoperability. Because EMI customers have been asking for this and voted in their thousands when they were offered alternative file formats without DRM, they chose to take them and pay extra money for them. And so EMI tell us all this. So this is amazing. They're taking DRM off their MP3s and making them available so that people can use them on any device they like. As basically, you know, brother and sister can share MP3s, and husband and wife, and machine and machine. And EMI do not have an issue with this any longer. Now, they never had an issue with this with vinyl and with compact cassette and with compact disc, because they didn't have DRM. You bought something in a shop and you were allowed to play it in any damn CD player or record player you liked. You could actually bring your albums under your arm to your mate's house and play them on his stereo. Oh yeah, they were the days. And then we got this stuff from iTunes and Apple onto your iPod that was only able to be put on your machine. You know, at a price akin to what you were buying it on an album, but you could only play it on your player. That model is breaking down. But I'm a bit sceptical and dubious about this whole move, because there's a couple of things. They're going to charge you to unlock the files you previously had. And the carrot is, well, you're getting higher bandwidth, higher bitrate of songs. So the quality is increasing. Yes, the quality is increasing, but who pays for the larger file download? The buyer does. The buyer's broadband is paying for the extra bandwidth that it takes to take the larger file down. Now, still, we want better audio quality in our files. 128 is an absolute rip-off. I bought a album exclusively available on iTunes. That's why I bought it there. And I was shocked that it was only 128 kilobit file. And it was worth getting, but the quality, you were getting better quality on that all of MP3 Russian service for cheaper the price. So for the price, 128 kilobits was never right for a 99 cent track. So being asked to pay more for a 256 kilobit track unlocked in the interests of interoperability, it still doesn't add up. And I'll tell you why it doesn't add up. Because if you wanted to have interoperability, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, interoperability, big word for a podcast, if it is to aid interoperability, why would you continue to sell your songs in the AAC format? Because if you want to have a ubiquitous bring it anywhere format, you would sell DRM unlocked MP3. No. Listen carefully to the EMI podcast. The one with Steve Jobs in EMI London. That podcast. Links available from my own blog, briangreen.com. Steve says, AAC, 256, unlocked. That's not... He says it's in the interest of interoperability. If it's AAC, it's not. Because there are only a few players are going to play that. You're not going to play that everywhere. So I would rethink what the file format is, and we might see a rash of AAC to MP3 directory encoders, decoders, converters coming up, but something about the whole thing is very interesting, and it's very right that the move and the direction they're taking, but the way that they've done it might not be as solid a move as once thought would happen. So that's my take on it. Oh, and by the way, welcome to the world of podcasting, EMI. I notice that your podcast is encoded in a non-standard bitrate, and therefore when played back through Flash,
you're chipmunked at hyperspeeds.
Something podcasters have generally come across in their career, you'll notice that it's playing back at multiple speeds, because not because MP3 or your podcast has a problem, because Flash Player is a problem, but that problem isn't going away. So we have to, as podcasters, fix these chipmunked problems and sort them out. So heads up to anybody who is in EMI. Well done on the move. Can we see if he can push in the other direction? There was an open letter from Steve jobs to the music industry to unlock the DRM. Well, what about the music industry back to Steve Jobs, write a letter and say, will you please go MP3 for, you know, the masses and in the interests of interoperability? And at the same time, if anybody could, if anybody is listening on the issue of the chipmunks, if you want help on it, I've helped others before on this, give us a call, give us an email, radio@wxtc.net, and we should be able to sort you out. I could even transcode it, but I won't do that until you give me permission to do so, because that would be breach of your copyright. By the way, let's just take that EMI story one step further. Where is the podcasting angle on this EMI move? When will it be realised that the end user wants to purchase music that isn't locked in, locked down, your player only? How does that transcend to, will EMI see that playing music in a podcast, a heads up, is a bit of promotion, and it is aiding the sale of music, not destroying it? I put it to you that we are the disc jockeys of the today, of now, and where people take influence and instruction and choice from. And we have the power to bum rush the charts. We have the power to influence and assist people in their next musical choice. And for you guys, it'll be a musical purchase. So why won't you let us, through a responsible clearing agency, like you allow for vinyl and CD through traditional broadcasters, through the PPI, the needle time, you, the record labels, the licensing people also, are not allowing central licensing to podcasters. So the barriers are there, and it's so difficult, so we don't bother doing it. And we all fear that we'll get cease and desist or takedown letters under the DMCA. So please do re-examine your potential that you could have as us, the promoters of music, in the life cycle of people finding the best tracks in the music that they love and enjoy and will buy and keep forever. That's my small bit of soapboxing finished. I'm going to sign out now without a song and say, pity it's been so long since the last one. Hopefully it'll be sooner before the next one. And keep listening. Thanks for your support and your subscription. This is Brian Green, WXTC.net, signing off. Over and out.